Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, folks, and hey, Bear. Welcome to the Nate Land Podcast. I'm Nate Bargatze, Aaron Weber, Dusty Slay.
Okay.
No Brian Bates. Brian Bates is sick of everybody. And I got that bug. Yeah. Man.
Did you catch it just
yeah,
then?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's gone.
It got the message.
No, it's there.
Okay.
It's there.
There's a.
Well, you did get it in the air.
But I got it in the air. And then it was walking. I think it killed its flying.
Clipped its wings.
But then it was like, it felt too real aggressive to do that.
Ralph Macchio in here.
Yeah. Yeah. So what a start.
I mean, that was. We're laughing about it, but that was impressive to see.
Yeah, yeah, to get it on camera.
I'll swat at it 12 or 13 times before I get it. Yeah.
Depending on how high def this is, maybe they can slow that down and actually catch you catching the bug.
Mm-hmm. They should be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bates is sick, and my voice sounds bad. I'm not sick. I was at the Vanderbilt game. Aaron's weak and sick, so his voice is
that's
bad.
That's true.
Dusty hasn't had a shot in 35 years. So
I'm tip top.
He's tip top.
Exactly.
Feels great. He's not in the what everybody gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
He does have measles. He's got a measles. There they go. What would be an old-timey?
Polio.
That would be very funny.
My cousin had polio. No, but
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was, you know, like my dad's age, but she had polio.
Oh, wow.
So it's in the family.
Is it before? Yeah. That would be, that's what we should have done. Every time you're out, we just give one of those that you're like, well, he's got polio.
I think you should too.
That's
mumps.
Very funny.
Mumps.
Mumps.
You got mumps.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could Photoshop a picture of me with mumps.
I feel like the mumps are like the cousin of the chicken pox.
Yeah.
Are
in
they?
The same family, yeah.
Yeah?
It's like yellow fever or something like that. Like
just that's old, where it starts from?
Old. No, I'm just saying old-timey diseases. Yeah.
But I mean, are mumps are chicken pox?
I think it's like a... You could get the mumps, measles, and rubella shot back in the day. I think they made us get that at school.
Mumps and chickenpox are not related diseases. Mumps is caused by the mumps virus, while chickenpox is caused by the varicella zoster virus.
Well, agree to disagree.
Yeah.
So I think they're the same.
I like that.
I think you got mumps, you got chickenpox.
I like
that. I think mumps is actually pretty fun to have.
It's caused by the mumps virus.
Yeah.
Whereas chickenpox is some other virus altogether.
Yeah.
How'd you get mumps? The mumps virus.
Yeah. I was exposed to it. Mumps is a key symptom of mumps is swelling of the salivary glands.
Oh, I may have that all the time.
Yeah. Do you drool a lot? Do you have excess
when
saliva?
I sleep,
you
sometimes,
think?
Yeah.
Could be hydrated.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do drool in my sleep sometimes.
Oh, really?
You know, guys don't wake up a little drool.
I don't know I sweat.
I don't know if I even check. I think you'd have to drool a ton to even
to be a problem.
Just my beard's wet.
I mean, I know, but I would think it would dry overnight. Yeah, you're in there for 8 hours.
Yeah, but it's coming out while you're.
Yeah, I know, but it's coming out to the last second.
Maybe
soaking wet.
Maybe it's what wakes me up. It's the last minute. I get into a deep sleep, and then the drool comes out, and then I go, oh, I had mumps in my sleep.
You got a babbling creek coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
It won't unleash.
The mumps virus last night.
Wake up, get a drink, and go back to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to keep it, you got to keep it in. You got to stay hydrated.
All right. I like it. So Bates got the mumps. Bates would get the mumps over chicken pox. He would, he would have the mumps.
Well, he's had shingles. I've had shingles. It's, and that's a chicken pox related virus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. probably from the varicella zoster virus.
Yeah.
I think it all comes from the same place. But Bates is he's only missed this podcast once for being sick in 5 years. And that was when he had a stroke.
Yeah.
I remember he thought he had a stroke.
He thought he had. Yeah, yeah.
So.
But did he miss it just again recently, or he was late?
When he was pretty Jay late, but he still Mike came. James, yeah, came from the airport. He's about an hour late. But
this is the first.
This is the first, like, I'm straight. He texted us yesterday. Like, yeah. I'm not going to be able to make it tomorrow. So Bates is out cold somewhere.
He's out cold because, I mean, this was a big, this podcast, and he was going to come with me to the Vandy, Tennessee game.
Oh, and he had to miss that.
And he had to miss that.
Oh, and that wasn't a good game or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And we had an experience.
You were on the field, too.
On the field. Oh, man. I mean.
Brian's dream weekend.
On the field. Went to the locker room with the team afterwards. Coach Clark Lee brought me into the locker room with the staff first, and then I went in with all the players.
Oh, my God.
And then...
would Brian have gotten to go in if he were there?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Oh, man. He would have been...
Are you giving him updates while you're doing all this? Hey, Brian, buddy, here's what you're missing right now.
Diego Pavia... said, do you have anybody in their 50s I can put on my shoulder? That's what he said to me. And I said, I don't. I go, a guy was supposed to come that is in his 50s. And he goes, well, I go, can I do it? He goes, I need you to be in their 50s.
He's like, I'm looking for an adopted dad.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. He said exactly that. He goes, do you have a worried man that I could put on my shoulders for one of my viral clips? And I go, a guy was coming, but he got the mumps, and he couldn't be here. No, in all seriousness.
Oh, poor Brian, man.
Yeah, no, he's real sick.
But that would
I think he's sick. It's a normal sick.
That would be an experience, though.
It was. I'll make it up to him. I'll make it up to him.
You've done enough.
We'll give him. As a long Vandy fan, I understand.
This game snapped a 16-game losing streak against Tennessee. Is that right?
I don't think 16.
I thought it was 16.
I think it was 6. Maybe. I don't know. We were winning because Tennessee's been through some bad years.
When's the last time you won at Tennessee, though?
Oh, that
maybe that's 16. It. Maybe that's yes. It. Yeah, okay. Because I heard that. I watched a little bit of the game at a bar in McMinnville.
Game's unbelievable.
They were sad. They were all Tennessee fans, and it was a sad bar.
And not only beat them, but dominate them. Yeah. The second half was like...
Yeah.
Tough to watch.
Fourth quarter. Dude,
this Vandy team is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're a truly, truly great team. And it was unbelievable to watch. It's funny as I went down there the Wednesday before, just like I haven't seen the new stadium. And we were downtown. And so we hit up some people over at Vandy and was like, hey, we're going to come through. And so we saw like they were finishing practice. And I saw. And then next thing I know, like, coach is like, hey, I want you to say something to the team. I was like, I'm not. I didn't even know y'all were going to be out here. I was like coming to look at like the suites or the
say
new.
Say something to the team after or before?
Yeah, after.
Okay, after's better,
so
I think.
Wise
yeah.
words.
Yeah.
That's what they say. And then so I had to just off the dump. Like, so, you know, when you're having to say something, so you're just like kind of zoned out in your head like, I'm about to have to give a speech. Oh, and so you're just like, all right, what if I say this? You know, you're just trying to, like somebody have to do it. It's like, hey, do you mind going up and do 10 minutes? You're like, I wasn't planning on it. And then you're like, all right, I'll do this.
But at least if you're doing 10 minutes, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And not a speech after a football.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you think it went well?
We saw what happened. You know what I mean?
Oh, so this was before
this. This was before practice.
This was practice
week.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's harder, I think. Yeah.
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 But that was the little boost they needed.
That was the boost. Now,
did you get some laughs out of them?
Not really.
They go,
I gave up more. It was like, you know, more serious speech, but like really just thinking, tell my look, I mean, I've been a Vandy fan my whole life.
They go, what'd that guy say? And they were like, I don't know. I think he's sick.
Yeah.
We got to win.
Yeah.
We got to win.
We got to win for him. Yeah. He goes, he's sick.
He's drooling. Yeah. I think he had the mumps.
I think I gave some good, from overall, I heard from, you know, they're like, they thought it was a good, out of the team, but like some people that heard his speech were like, yeah, no, it was great. It all made sense. Like, you just all you want. When I get done, I go, did it make sense?
Yeah.
Because you're not just jabbering and being like, what?
You're not like that guy in the Waterboy locker room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Farmer Fran.
Yeah. But it was, going to that game was unbelievable. Diego Pavia should win the Heisman. I don't even know how you could argue against it. Honestly believe it. Notre Dame is infuriating. I mean, just infuriating. You're going to be the reason we don't get in.
Well, there are a bunch of reasons.
No, that's going to be the main
reason.
We're
one of them, yeah.
No, you're the main.
Auburn not beating Alabama in the end, that could have helped.
Yeah, it could help Notre Dame get in a conference and actually have to play some people would be nice. So then they could, you know, not get in the first playoff game and lose by 40.
Yeah.
And Vandy should. I wish Vandy Notre Dame would play right now.
Oh, I'd love it, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love it.
Man. I would love it. That's
they should really do that when it comes down to it like that, where there is a thing. They should go, all right, we got to do a little
thing. Do a play-in game.
They should do something. Yeah. Well, Notre Dame's always in. They start as number one, and then, they basically
it's
have
theirs
to
lose.
Oh, yeah. They have to have, like...
They're, like, innocent until proven guilty. They're basically, yeah.
It's crazy. It's and, you know, you always kind of feel that now being where we're at right now. I mean, no offense. I'm excited. Good for you. Like, but it's, it's crazy. Notre Dame just, like, it's like Texas, like, all of them. They can't, this committee... just can't open their mind to a new way of thinking. So they're like, it's got to be the main ones that have been always there.
Is Diego
Notre Dame
there next
was
year?
Invented in 1645, and everybody can't move past that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is Diego there next year?
No.
So this is it.
This is it. And I mean, they should be in the playoffs, I think.
He come back? I mean, is he a millionaire now, you think? And he could just come back?
I bet he is. No, he can't. He's done.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think that, like...
Where's he been all this time?
Well, he was in New Mexico State. Here's how unbelievable Coach Clark Lee is. He went and found New Mexico State. New Mexico State is, like, the future... Whatever they had there... It was like the future of college football, and he went and got it and pulled it out. There's another kid, I think, that the star running back for maybe Tennessee or someone else that was also at New Mexico State. But Diego and a few of their players and then the coaches, and one coach is going to retire from New Mexico State. That was like this great coach, and Clark Lee was like, just come be a consultant, just be around. Like, he was that good, and they just brought all of them over there. And so we have a coaching staff that is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they got him out of New Mexico State, and it was just a brilliant, brilliant move.
So he ruined New Mexico State for them.
I mean, New Mexico State was about to get ruined anyway. But to go find them and bring them all over. But yeah, I mean, they had a great team. New Mexico State beat Auburn, and mm-hmm. So it's, you know, and I mean, Diego, look, I'll tell you this story. I talked to Diego last year, and we were just talking, and he said, this is after the season last year, and he goes, next year, like, we're just talking about next season, and he's like, you know, next year I'll be in the Heisman race. And he said that to me.
Yeah.
And I'm on board. Like, I love when you believe in yourself that much. But to be honest, at that moment, it was like kind of crazy to hear.
All right, dude. Yeah.
You're like, all right. Like, I mean, all right, dude. I like, you know, it's like one of those, I don't doubt him, but you're like, okay. Like, you know.
And then, I like cocky athletes. I'm into that. I do.
It wasn't
like
even
it.
Said cocky. It was said matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Next year I'll be in the Heisman race. So then we'll be doing this and that. But that's what I mean. That's how much that says about that kid. Whatever you want to say, like, I get Diego's what I've seen about him, very aware person. Very aware. Like, I've watched him and I can see him really notice. He's always kind of noticing people and noticing everything that's going around. I think everything he does is kind of, it is the show. You are selling tickets. You are doing this thing. And that's what he is doing. But for him to say that and then be in it right now, that, like, whatever it's whatever is said, whatever happens that's out of the hands, he should win the Heisman. And he should be there, even 150% guaranteed should be there. Mm-hmm. I think he should win it. And I think most people do think he wins when you go look at it. But to see that now, like, you're rare to even get to meet someone that can do that. That's not a normal thing to be able to meet someone that says that to you. Mm-hmm. And then they go do it.
And then they deliver.
And then they deliver and go do it. You're just not going to be around. That's a rare person to even get to meet. And for him to do that at Vanderbilt, you know, it's not like he's, you know, this 6'11 quarterback, like whatever, all this stuff. I mean, he's obviously, his passing's got great. He's clearly worked to get better. It's just unbelievable. He gave the game ball, our chancellor, Candace Lee, a great chancellor, one that I think people, you know, were worried that they were not going to be. She's unbelievable. All right, not chancellor, athletic director.
Yeah.
So he gets drafted to the Titans then now, huh? They got to have the number one draft, right?
But he gave her the game. This is how great in the moment of that. They're all celebrating after the Tennessee game. It's the big game. He's like the single season passing record or something. Vandy, all this stuff he's done, like crazy. The game he had, you know, he had over 400 total yards of rushing pass, like all this nuts. And then he goes, hey, before we leave, he goes, the game ball, and he gave it to Candace Lee.
Wow.
And for him to even notice, she was in the locker room, but it's also like, kind of like right outside, like it's a bunch of dudes just like kind of being crazy. And for him to stop everybody and see it and notice her and give her that, and that meant a lot to her. And it was like, that's, I don't know, whatever you want to say about the guy, I hadn't seen nobody else think like that. No one even thought to go. It wasn't like prompted. It wasn't like, hey, don't forget to go do blah, whatever. It was like he was thinking and appreciative of what I think everybody that has done for him for that team. And I know he has silver teeth, and that's frustrating. No, I'm joking.
I like silver teeth, too.
I like silver teeth, too.
I always wanted to get a gold tooth, honestly. And
In the front?
Yeah.
I could see
I like it.
I think you could do it.
I like it. I think the look.
Yeah.
I'm married now. I can't do it, but I like the look.
No, you could do it.
Give it some time. Yeah.
But it could be when you come out of the woods and like it's someone that's trespassing.
Yeah.
And you shove
a little bullet for a tooth.
Yeah. You could be boys know where you're at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I like it. It's exciting. I mean,
it's exciting.
Very exciting. So, seriously, though, you think he gets drafted they have to have the worst record, right?
He's a great quarterback. I don't know if the size, like, he might not get drafted that high, but I think he'll get a chance to go somewhere.
I think they got
to
do it, though. You just got it. If you got first pick and you're Nashville, he's been winning in Nashville, you got to take it. You got to pick
it. Yeah, they just drafted a quarterback last year, and, you know.
How's that going, though?
I understand, but it would be. It would be a bold statement to Diego Pavia.
I think they should.
First, it would.
I think they should.
It would be talked about for many years.
I think they should.
Diego, tell you if he believes it, you know. But
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Let's do it.
All
right. I mean, obviously, whatever we got going on right now is not working out well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. You guys are going to dominate in the Pinstripe Bowl this year. So.
Yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen. Notre Dame gets to walk. I mean, it's
just walking. We won 10 games in a row, dude.
Nothing.
Who's dominating?
Miami.
Miami and A&M.
Yeah.
Two teams that are also in the playoffs, probably.
And then you played, like, who? Like
USC was ranked. What are you talking about?
Who else do you have? USC. Played Wake Forest twice.
Pitt was good.
You're like, oh, no. God. That's unbelievable.
Wake Forest twice.
So what about Lane Kiffin drama? See, I took this take that I think they should let him play the rest of the season for the team.
Yeah.
And I put it on X. Everybody's upset with me. I think they should let him. I'm not saying for him, for the team.
I get it. I think it's more of a NCAA college football problem. They shouldn't even be allowed to be talking to these coaches till after
I agree. It's well, crazy.
That's the problem.
True.
And so, like, it's not, even though Lane Kiffin's doing what he's doing, and you know, yeah, he's probably, I don't know if he's handled everything great and whatever. You got a college football problem. And that's like most everything. Whenever you, anytime you want to blame an individual, just always back away and go, I bet it's not the individual's
but
fault.
I think they should
probably
let him
the
play.
System.
I think they should let him play. Well, for now the play. They, imagine you're
but the
playing
system,
on the team.
I agree, but the, they don't want him. They put a vote up to
the player said we don't want him.
They don't want him.
Oh,
because
well,
you
okay.
Did that
you
he knew that what they weren't going to let him do that. I think you say that to try to
no,
save
he said
face.
It. Well, but what's crazy is
I don't care about him, but I'm just like
but the, well what's crazy too is you want what if you go what if you're Lane Kiffin, I would think what if you just go like no, go find another coach then. Cuz they're not. They're going to sit and wait for
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could say they're going to go look somewhere else. But like, how do you not like have some back end deal and go, I'll do it. But like, you know, and it's a lot of money. Now we want to hear him say yes now and all this
what
stuff.
What do they say?
You're
100,
the one in the driver's seat.
$100 million?
$90 million. $15 million a year.
What yeah, was man. It? What were they going to give him?
I think they were going to match it.
Yeah. I see. Here's my thing that I believe. And that's where the only thing I could say that I think is a mistake. It's old thinking. It's if college football is changing and the old guard is got an they're gonna have an awakening.
Yeah.
If you look at LSU, Ole Miss is the better job right now.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is the better team.
I like
right
seeing
now.
Ole Miss be
you
good.
You can go Ole Miss can be good. If they're gonna pay and they're gonna match and they're gonna do this stuff, you're stuck because you in ways and this is I it's like the legacy of a lot of stuff is about to flip. And I think you're seeing that in all industries, Hollywood and this, like it's flipping. It's they're going to, you see the Indiana and Vanderbilts and all this. And these kids that are going to start coming up are not like, if you're like, yeah, well, we are Alabama and we have 7 championships and blah, blah, whenever. And you're like, yeah, but I mean, in 25 years, you're like, I don't know, Gonzaga, like in basketball, where mm-hmm. you're like, you're just going to have that with the NIL because it's kind of leveling it out to where it's like people can go spend the money.
Sure.
So now you start looking at the cities that you're going to go to and then you really see it. So you could build something. If Lane Kiffin stayed at Ole Miss and built something, it's like they're going to have a statue. Now if he goes to LSU, it's like.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with all that. But I think just for this, I think they should let him stay and help them. Because Ole Miss never won a national championship, right?
Not since the 60s. Yeah. I mean, this is their best season in 60
years. The only problem would be is the universities being stuck in their ways and maybe not giving them everything that they need to go do it. But I don't know if I, you know, that's what they always tell you. Texas is the best job in the country. And like all this, you're like, it just doesn't, look at where they all end up. Like it doesn't matter. Like Texas ain't, like they, none of it matters anymore. It just doesn't matter, and it can switch, and you're in a window that can switch because now you can't sit there and go like, well, we've won 7 championships when everybody's like, well, no one cares anymore. It's like Ohio State's the one that's I think, figured it. They're dangerous. And I think they figured it out the most because I think they have kept the old – but they've adapted to the new so well that's just Ohio State's a problem.
Yeah.
And you're in, like, I feel like they've even, I mean, maybe I'm down here in the South or whatever, but it's kind of quiet. Like, it's not like just a bunch of up and down noise. And, you know, I know they wanted to fire him for the Michigan game last year, but it's, they've just like kind of like go, I went to their facilities. And it's just like
they're nice, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they're doing the NIL stuff the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of said, oh, all right, it's a new system. Okay. Let's just dominate that new system. And I honestly think Ohio State's going to be, I mean, that's going to be, they're going to be dominant for a while.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you're right.
All right. I'm sure everybody loved that.
I think it was hot. I think it was hot.
I enjoyed it, too.
I enjoyed it.
I think it was hot.
It's labeled on the bottom. You can, if it's college football talk,
it.
Just skip it.
Skip it.
But get in on the Lane Kiffin debate, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Leave that separate.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the Million Dollar Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Did y'all have anything? Well, I went to the game, so that was it.
That was Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Thanksgiving. Good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good Thanksgiving. Oh, I did the Tonight Show last week.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
Fun. But I,
right. I like the shirt you were wearing.
Oh, did you?
Is it like a suede?
Yeah.
Something?
Yeah. I got a, you know, I did a gig and they, you know, they hired somebody to pick out clothing for me.
Okay.
And then I just used that.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I doubled up.
Yeah.
Good deal, man. Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, it matched my hair. So some people said it looked like my hair was made out of the jacket. I said the jacket was made out of my own hair.
Yeah. Not far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Good Thanksgiving. Great. Everything was great, you know.
It's nice to sneak in a Tonight Show when they're like, you know, like just like at the end, holidays are coming up, all this stuff. Just kind of sneak over.
You didn't even tell us. I saw on Instagram.
I feel like there was something that happened where we didn't do an episode that week.
It's just funny to open up Instagram like, oh, Dusty's on the Tonight Show tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was good. It was fun. I had a great time.
Yeah. Tim Allen was on with you.
Yeah. I got to meet Tim Allen.
That was Tim Allen.
He was great. Very nice.
Yeah.
Talked to him for a bit about his first time doing Johnny Carson. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. That's the key. When you talk to older guys, I always do it too. Ask them about their first late night.
Yeah.
And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's because they like talking about it and whatever. Then you, mm-hmm. and then you get to hear, and you want to hear the story anyway.
Yeah,
it's just an easy icebreaker. Then you kind of go, all right, I see.
Yeah. And what a monster career. I mean, I think he's got Toy Story 5 coming out. He's had three Santa Claus movies, three great sitcoms. Dude.
Great show.
That was Scooby-Doo more than...
No.
For who?
I think it's similar.
That Home Improvement?
Scooby-Doo.
No, he goes...
That's crazy.
What are you talking about?
That's not...
Hold on, dude. I'm talking about in the theme song.
I think he might do a little of both, to be honest.
I think he... When he's talking in person...
Oh. Yeah. All right, I'll give you that.
Okay, yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah, that makes sense.
And in person, he goes, hur, hur,
well, hur, I would hur. Watch the whole show and not just the theme. I know you like to bell after the jingle.
For 6 seconds. Yeah.
But yeah, three sitcoms, though. He's on his third one right now.
That's crazy.
Always crushing them.
Yeah. All right, start it off. Your guys' comments, Joanna Richardson. Saw Nate in Charleston, West Virginia this past weekend. Wowza.
Wowza.
I was hoping for some of the Breakfast Club with him, but was still very excited to see his openers. Didn't think it was possible for them to be even funnier in the wild, but they all were. So, so great. Thanks, Nate, for coming to West Virginia. Yeah, we had Julian, Nick Thune, Joe Zimmerman, Steven Rogers.
It's a great lineup. Who's the Breakfast Club? Is that me and Dusty?
I think it's like just,
people me, Dusty, and Brian.
I would say
the Breakfast Club.
But there is already a show called The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, so I was hoping Charlemagne the God would be there, but he wasn't.
And a movie.
No, I think everybody got it, but you.
I've never been.
Maybe Emilio Estevez would show up.
Yeah. Brody Martin. Nate's schizophrenia rant felt like old times. Happy Thanksgiving. Yep. The real Maprin. I'm 99% sure the schizophrenia commercial is trying to show you how the medication will improve the everyday life of someone diagnosed, but I like your story way more. Yeah. I think it's a real thing. And people have it.
Yeah. Pretty commonplace now, they're trying to say, though. I think.
Yeah.
You never know who's just a schizophrenic out here now.
Yeah. There's levels of it.
Just forget to take your medication and just, you know, sometimes I'll take a vitamin or an acid reflux pill, and sometimes I forget, and then I get heartburn all of a sudden. You do that with schizophrenia medication, what happens?
You're howling at the moon.
But if I see a Pepto commercial, I don't go, they're normalizing heartburn.
Well, I do think that.
Yeah. Okay. He's consistent.
Our body shouldn't be raging against us all the time.
I agree with that.
I think
about that when you're eating and you're like, you have heartburn. You're like, yeah, I'm putting so much stuff
in your body's fighting back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all it is.
And we're going, here, be quiet, body.
Yeah.
Take this.
And it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tums, by the way. Officially sponsored by Tums now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Tums guy.
Well, Tums are good.
I'm a Tums guy. Tums gets it done.
Yeah, Tums are good.
Gets it done. Ryan McColeman. Nate's saying it's got a French accent in Ariel, referring to Sebastian the Crab having a Jamaican accent in The Little Mermaid. And then no one calling him out on it is the most Nate Lane thing ever. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think we're all current on The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, you're talking about the Keith Duggo, that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's Jamaican. I've never thought that was Jamaican, though. I thought it was like a weird European guy.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't heard it in a while.
Yeah. Sunrise Addict. Nate, I had such a tough day yesterday and put your video, some compilation, and my tears started streaming from laughing, so thank you. Thank you, Sunrise.
Still crying, Addict. But now.
Still addicted.
Yeah.
I like, back to The Little Mermaid, I do like that it's a Nate Lane thing, that we don't know The Little Mermaid very well.
I know it very well.
Classic Nate Lane.
Because I was going to say, if they were like, so unlike Nate Lane to not know every line from The Little Mermaid.
I could probably do every line because of Abigail, because that was her favorite movie.
Oh.
So we watched it. So I should have got it right. I mean, I don't know if I've been asked that question before, but yeah. We were big Little Mermaid people. Cam Rom. It's like his own rom-com.
Yeah.
Nate is not the only one to have seen a front yard pool. A house where I grew up in Florida had one. Of course, it wasn't as much of a pool as it was a 30-yard dumpster lined with a tarp and filled up with water. But to that hillbilly's credit, he did have it set up with a pump and a filter system on it. Not sure I've seen a man with more confidence just living life floating around in his front yard dumpster pool.
Wow. Well, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
Those Florida summers, you know.
Yeah.
They're hot.
I mean,
humidity,
why go in debt for a pool when you could just set up a dumpster with a tarp?
But dumpsters are expensive.
You can make an argument that it's, it's like, well, you got your dumpster in the yard because you're renovating and everybody just thinks that's okay. It's like, well, mine's in there. Mine's actually useful.
Yeah. And as dumpsters really expensive? I mean, is it more expensive than what if he just had a dumpster? Or what if he was renting it?
You could rent it, and I bet you could stumble upon them.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
I bet if you know someone, I bet it's impossible to get a dumpster until you meet the one guy, and then it becomes, brother, I can get you whatever dumpster you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like before, you're like, no one can just get a dumpster.
Yeah.
And you meet one person, and he's like, everybody can get a dumpster.
Yeah.
That's
you want
how
a dumpster? I'll get you a dumpster right now.
That's dumpster guy.
Yeah.
Derek Skinner. Derek with a C.
Wow.
That's crazy.
D-E-R-E-C.
D-E-R-E-C. Probably because the K's were, I don't know. The bathroom stall issue keeps coming. Had a stop at a Burger King on a road trip to use the restroom. Shortly after entering, a father with a young, rambunctious toddler came in needing the stall. After checking quickly and finding the door locked, The toddler slid under the door, standing up to quickly find me sitting there. I said hello as he quickly crawled back out. Need to say we both didn't have it our way that day. I like that.
That's a good joke.
Yeah. That's so funny that he made it to standing up.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, where you at on that going, hey. Yeah.
You also...
I'd probably put my foot out when I saw the kid. You know what I mean? You kick him. Yes. Kick him out.
Yeah, big boy in that stall. The fact that you can have stuff squirt out of it. My goodness. You got to walk in. Sir, do you mind scooting your legs in? I'm trying to wash my hands at the sink. I mean, golly. How do you go get your foot out of the front?
Saying if the kid comes in, I'll kick him on the head a little bit.
I think
you go
in there and you sit and cross your legs like a recliner and lean back and you do a horse with no name
reading the paper.
And it's maybe one of the best days of your life. And you hope a child walks in.
Man,
that's so
a Burger King to use the bathroom. That was desperation.
Yeah.
Well, it had to be nothing else on that exit.
Well, the fast food spots are good for it. Yeah, I think so because
they're all drive through and no one's.
You know what the move is?
Yeah, and they're not going to.
Hotel.
Hotel is the way to go.
Hotel, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. We walk in. You get a little breakfast too while you're.
You just go, I got to. Where's my room?
You go, where's the. You just walk with purpose and nobody
will
stop.
Yeah, you go, good to see you. How are you? Good morning.
Yeah.
Ooh, cold out.
Yeah.
Do something like that. They don't care.
They don't.
They also, they don't care at all.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Casey Lee Carlson, I love how Aaron said it's hard to play yourself at chess, saying it's because of objectivity.
Objective.
Sentence is tough. But ultimately, his problem was all the walking around the board.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Casey Lee really taking shots at
taking
you.
Shots.
That's very funny.
It is very funny.
You can just spin the board, too. That's the funny part.
Yeah, I think you'd get tired there, too.
You probably got a lazy Susan, you know? You got him in his fridge and his, you know...
Lazy
I got
Susan.
A lot of lazy Susan.
I bet you let one side win quicker.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It's hard to, you start just really pulling for one side.
Yeah.
Like, do you think if you...
The side with the recliner. The other side's a hard stool.
Keeps winning.
He's good, man. Chris Totten. If Mary gave birth to Jesus, then Jesus is the Lamb of God. Does that mean that Mary really did have a little lamb?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't like where that was going for a minute, but
in the end, it's...
Yeah. Yeah. In the end, all right. I'll give it to you, Chris Totten.
Yeah.
God forbid we honor Mary for more than 2 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, y'all. Yeah. I think she's honored in Notre Dame.
That's Our Lady.
Yeah, I know. She's in the playoffs every year.
That's what Lou Holtz used to say. Jesus doesn't care about football, but his mom does.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a pretty good line.
Andrea Deischer. Live in a small town in southern Illinois. My parents let some balloons go at their 50th wedding anniversary party. They had attached their names and phone number and reason for them. They ended up landing in Owensboro, Kentucky. And the couple called, and my parents went to meet them and share a meal together. Love the pod, guys.
That's cool.
Oh. Wow, Southern Illinois to Owensboro, Kentucky.
I just did a gig in Owensboro, Kentucky.
Yeah?
You know, we used
That's
to do
far,
that.
Man.
We would send out balloons like that. Nobody ever called.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice that they called.
That is fun. That's I always wanted that to happen.
And then you want to meet them and share it. And
go, can we borrow some money?
Yeah.
You know, thanks for finding the balloon.
Yeah. Clearly, you can see that we have no phone.
Southern Illinois, though, depending on how southern, is that really?
Yeah, I'm guessing like if like Carbondale.
That's pretty far,
That's pretty far. I mean, that's several towns over.
Evansville's?
Evansville's southwest corner of Indiana.
Owensboro,
Kentucky.
Owensboro's a little further over.
Which
there.
Is like just, outside of Evansville.
Owensboro's a nice city. I did a corporate gig there not long ago. Yeah, it's great.
So that's that's far for a balloon to go. That's farther than I would thought. I would thought it would go a couple neighborhoods.
How
over.
Big of a balloon?
It must have been a sturdy one, dude.
Yeah.
Some good helium in there. Not some weak helium.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Some NASA helium.
The husband of the wife found that balloon. We're going to eat with who? You remember?
They found our balloon.
They found our balloon. I didn't send him a balloon. Like, he's mad. I got to go. I ain't talking.
I'd like to know more about the meal. What'd you guys talk about?
Where did you go eat?
Yeah. What do you think? Waffle House?
That feels like a Cracker Barrel situation.
It does feel like a Cracker Barrel.
Early?
Man,
yeah.
Early?
Real early.
11 a.m.
3 p.m. dinner?
Yeah.
Let's get out of there.
What do you... Yeah, and you just go, what's your life? Yeah. And then you go, did you ever talk to him again? No.
Nah,
we didn't enjoy the dinner. Didn't like them as people. I don't know why we did that.
They wanted to go to Cracker Barrel at 9 p.m.
I guess they knew it was a 50th wedding anniversary, so they're like, no, they're into it. They're 70 years old.
They ain't got nothing going on.
Yeah, and they just landed. Yeah. Mary Knight. Fun fact, from 1927 to 1932, the Macy's Day Parade would let the balloons go at the end of the parade, and if you found one and turned it in, you got $100.
Wow.
I think they should do that.
$100 in 1927? That's like $100,000 now.
I don't know about that.
How many balloons was it?
We're talking about the big balloons? What kind of balloons are we talking about, Mary Knight? What do you think $100 in 1927 is now?
I think it's
like
$2,000.
$1,900.
$1,800.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. So that was a lot. So I would be out there hunting for those balloons.
Yeah. Then they track you down, beat you up, take it back.
Macy, Darren West.
You go, what's your address? We'll mail it to you.
Darren West, Macy's balloon could float 10 to 300 miles. 6 to 10 hours. If it somehow climbed much higher and caught a jet stream, it could go thousands of miles. Real world constraints such as hitting a building or overinflation/expansion could cause the fabric to rip or pop. Aaron got results for the floats, not the balloons.
Fair enough. I wasn't thinking about the distinction there.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, Darren. Wow. Mm. Aaron and Darren.
I wonder how they, how big were the balloons in 1927, 1932? Like
that's
like,
probably when they had the good helium.
What does that mean?
It's been watered down now.
With what? Oxygen?
Yeah.
They should let them go, man.
Too much climate change, they said.
We should be doing more balloon stuff.
Look at the 1930s. I mean, so this is what they look like.
That's a big old...
They're bigger than you think.
Yeah.
If that thing popped up in your yard, though, you'd be terrified.
That's a big Mickey Mouse. That's the size of a building.
That Mickey Mouse popped up in your yard, you'd be like, get in the house.
Oh, dude. You think the world was ending back then.
What if it floated to, like, West Virginia? They don't have, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah. They're not watching the Macy's Parade.
Yeah. They don't even have a television. Just like... They just go, it's happening.
That Donald Duck's terrifying.
It sure is, man.
Yeah.
Look at that thing.
But it made it fun. Yeah, look at that building. Like, it looks, that's New York City. That looks like here.
Yeah, no.
Like a 2 hours outside of Tennessee, Nashville.
Yeah, it's 1935, that picture is. Mm. Different world.
Yep.
Pre-war, dude.
Yeah.
Not war in general, but pre-the war.
You know what,
the pre war, a lot of hours.
You know what I'm talking about.
Anyway. All right.
All right. Well, we want to talk about something. You know, Nate used to have a joke. We're talking about Mount Everest today.
Yeah.
And Nate used to have a joke. It's hard, like, hard to segue from, like, Donald
you,
Duck.
I like that you were like, it felt like you were going to try to, like, really set it up slow. And then you go, we're talking about Mount Everest, but yeah, let me do my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You just said, that Donald Duck is, it's like the size of Mount Everest.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about today?
Bet you'd die on the way to the top of that thing.
Yeah.
Nate used to have a joke about the guy that came in to talk to your job about climbing Mount Everest. Do you remember that joke?
Yeah, I liked it. It was a good joke.
Yeah.
I mean, liked it.
I don't remember what it's from. I tried to find it.
It was, I don't remember where it was at either, what it was on. I feel like something pre-Netflix. But yeah.
Might have been Full-Time Magic.
Yeah.
But it was a guy who came in who, I mean, I don't know if you want to say your own joke. Yeah, a guy who came in as inspirational speaker who had climbed Mount Everest. And he was like, what's your Mount Everest? What are you going to climb? Like, what's your Mount Everest? And Nate was like, keep in mind, this guy's Mount Everest was Mount Everest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the joke.
Yeah. So what could you possibly say
to a guy whose Mount Everest is Mount Everest?
Like, how, as a regular person, how do you even take advice from this guy?
You can't relate to him at all.
No.
Now, would y'all ever do something? Have you ever climbed a mountain, hiked a mountain, or anything like that?
I've hiked a mountain. Yeah, like in, we're over 10,000. What was it? You remember that mountain? Mason Chase. It was in Montana. We were way up there, man. The one, Banff. We went to Banff.
Banff.
Went to the top of that. But I mean, that's not Mount Everest. It's none of the, you know. But dude, we hiked that mountain in Banff.
Were you, well, let me ask you, were you back home sleeping that night?
No.
Okay, you camped out there on the mountain?
Oh, no, we were back.
It was a day trip.
No, back Banff is hotel. In Canada. Hotel.
I know. Yeah, wherever you were staying.
Well, the home really messed me up.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was the, yeah.
No, we were doing, I had a show that night.
Yeah. And we had one day off, and we drove out to Banff, and so it was the day after the show, and we went hiking. Very funny. We were listening to this podcast, Chase was in the back of the car, driving in the back of the car, or riding in the back of the car. And we listened to this, we're talking about bear attacks, bears and all this kind of crazy stuff. You know, and it's like, we're in a big car. It's like, we're going to get car sick anyway, just because it's a long drive. And then I was like, yeah, listen to this podcast about this bear that ate someone. And then I just started showing them the video. And Chase is already car sick, and then it just starts going, I mean, extremely graphic into this bear thing. And then we had to pull over for a second, but then we go hiking. So it's me, him, and Eric, and it was 12 hours. And I mean, dude, so Banff is obviously one of the prettiest places in the world, and so we go hiking all up in there. It's 12 hours. They have a hotel there at the bottom. We weren't staying there, but we met like Travis and whoever was with us. We're going to meet you when we walk in. And we walked in, and it was like, we might as well have just been on the moon and came back, because everybody's normal and you've just been out for 12 hours, and you feel so weird.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you like almost can't believe that people are, you're like, what are they doing? What conversations could they be having? You've just been just on another planet.
You feel superior to them in a way. Well, what have y'all been doing down here back on Earth?
It feels like you don't belong. It just feels, you're like, we shouldn't have come into a somewhat nicest restaurant. It's just such a weird,
Experience up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Real transformation.
I imagine skiing is like that, where you get done skiing and then you go into like some restaurant and you're like, I was just on top of that mountain.
I think people skiing do feel better than other people.
Yeah.
Like they're better than other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fell off a mountain one time. How did you feel after that?
I didn't feel good. I didn't fall off a mountain, but I slid down to
you
a
fell
cliff.
Pretty good bit though.
Yeah, I fell pretty good junk and pulled myself up. That was at the in Kentucky.
And you got real muddy.
I got real muddy.
And then you were walking by people like coming down the mountain and people were coming up and they're going, "Oh, you had a good time up there."
Yeah, I was so mad at
And you're like, "No, I almost died."
Yeah, I had a pretty traumatic experience. Yeah. Thanks, man.
What do they got? Rides up there?
Hope you and your daughter have a fun time out here. I almost died over there.
Well, I fell off a cliff and don't remember the whole day. So
you did?
That's right, yeah.
You fell off a cliff?
Yeah.
You had a concussion?
Old Hickory. Yeah.
Got a pretty big bit about
landed
it.
Landed in the water. Got a big bit about it. Yeah. Got it landed in the water. Don't remember the whole day. If I landed face down, I would have drowned.
Wow.
Yeah.
You 62 know, Hank, feet. Hank Williams Jr. fell off a mountain too, almost died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you write a song about
it?
Let's go talk about Aaron's dumb story where he
where were you at,
did not fall
where
off
were you
a
at career-wise? Like after that?
I was 12.
So
still
kicking. It all happened after the fall.
Yeah. It all happened. Well,
did you decide to become a comedian after you fell off the mountain?
No. I mean, I was 12. So it was, but I do remember I always did great in school. I got won all the awards in seventh grade, like smart awards and all this stuff. And then eighth grade, after I fell, I never won another award. In my school, I barely made it out of high school.
Wow.
And I bet something got knocked loose up there.
So maybe that's why you feel that way coming down off the mountain after being there for 12 hours. Somehow your body is going, your mind is going back to that place.
Maybe, yeah. No, we just felt like weird and gross. Like you're just.
Yeah.
But what if the rest of them were just going along with you? What if they were like, "Actually, we feel fine."
No, Chase. You felt gross, right? Yeah, we were like cavemen. Yeah, you come off and you just got dirt on your. You're a mess.
Yeah,
and you've been around nobody, and so you're just like it's just been us three, and it was such a long day. And then you come back and you're just like, and then, you know, and then you walk back in. And it's like the normal, like Travis is just sitting there having a meal and it just, you're like, it's, everything's normal again. And you're like,
So it's 6 hours up, 6 hours back sort of thing.
Well, we went up, back, and then we went another way too. And so that's why it was, it's a crazy hike. They have a little
That's an insane amount of time.
Yeah. We've done some pretty big hikes on the road where that was our longest. The other one we did was in, didn't you do that one where we went to that top of the mountain, right? That one was great. That was, I don't remember where that, it was in Montana and it was over 10,000 feet elevation.
That's where Hank Williams Jr. fell off a mountain.
Montana. Oh, yeah.
In Montana?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're up there, and it was over 10,000 feet.
Ajax Mountain.
We wrote a review on Trails. All Trails. I wrote a review on All Trails about us being up there, because you would leave something up there.
Yeah.
And we left the thing, a football, like we had like a little football or something for some reason.
Left a bunch of trash up there.
But that one was pretty intense too. We did not feel as crazy when we came back on that one. Yeah. But that one was very intense. And we got all the way up there. And then you're just up there, man. We hiked a bunch. Hiking is awesome.
It's really fun. It feels good to be all the way out there. All the way out there. Mount Everest is right between Nepal and China. It's actually owned jointly by both countries as it's right on the border.
How do they own it?
Well, they just, you know, the same way the U.S. owns, you know.
I feel like if you own anything with China, China owns it.
Yeah, I would say so too. Nepal's like, no, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Well, don't go to that side, but you can do whatever you want. It's our mountain.
Nepal has the southern side.
Yeah. Hey, can I come play over here? Don't go play over here. But he goes, but I thought you owned the mountain. I own the mountain. I'm saying I own the mountain. Of course I own the mountain, but just don't. That side's a different side. So you only one side? Nah, we're the whole thing, but just We share that side is, I don't want to get into it, but that side just a side. Don't go on. Go on the side I'm on.
This is one of the first jokes I remember hearing as a young kid. Do you know what the tallest tallest mountain before Mount Everest. Before Mount Everest was discovered, you know what the tallest mountain was?
Mm-hmm.
It was still Mount Everest. They just hadn't discovered.
Oh, that's funny.
It's pretty good. Yeah, as a young kid,
that's
I was
a pretty
like,
good joke. Yeah, and you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 14.
That's a but no, I mean that's a good kidding. Joke to Were you younger than that?
Yeah, I was way younger.
It's just one of those it's just one of those trick jokes mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, well, yeah. But I thought you were asking me what the tallest discovered one was.
But to get it as
was.
A kid,
yeah.
I thought you were being serious. But no. Now be serious.
Well, if a little kid told me that joke, I'd tell him to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, well, with your gold tooth.
Yeah, I'd go, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mount Everest
I do want a gold tooth.
It is. Mount
Everest.
I don't
want the whole tooth gold. I want a, like a ring around it almost.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, you want like a, just get a grill
I kind of want a grill.
No, he wants just the
not a
one.
Full-on grill.
I think he wants one that.
Like a pirate.
Yeah, you want, he wants someone to go, does that guy have a gold tooth?
But not bring it up.
But not bring it up.
Yeah.
Because they're too scared to talk to you? Or just like this?
Not. I think that's too much.
I
He's
want
talking about
just
a round
this one. Just the canine.
Yeah.
Just the gold on the canine.
Oh, okay, so not one of the front teeth.
But not.
So just like this, but just.
These are all guys.
Like the canine on this one, where it's just around it.
Yeah.
You see it?
Wait, where?
Right here, where it's just around the tooth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the look.
Yeah.
All right. I wish you luck, man.
Yeah.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Mount Everest is 5.5 miles high. It's about 29,000 feet. And as you know, that's the highest point from sea level. It's the highest point on Earth. But did you know that's not the tallest mountain? If you were to hike it, it's not the longest base to summit. It's shorter than that. But it's just because it just starts higher up above sea level. It's not technically the tallest mountain.
What is
there, I have it on here somewhere. That is Mauna Kea. That is the tallest from base to summit. But Mount Everest is the highest.
It gets colder up there.
Above sea level.
Yeah.
So
Mount Everest is the highest you can get on Earth from the mountain.
29,000 feet. I mean, that's about the height of commercial airline flights.
Yeah.
Like, you ever think about it, look out the window of a plane and you're like, dude, the top of a mountain is up here. That's pretty insane.
Well, so when people climb Mount Everest, are they at the peak? I mean, are they putting an arm around it, waving a flag?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like there's another section that's up there. Then you go.
Yeah.
No, I think they're at the peak.
Yeah, you can see like that's the peak of it, right? They were looking at like a 3D map of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not super sharp to a point like that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a plateau at the top, but you can get all the way up there.
Mm-hmm.
The first people ever to do it, 1953, is Sir Edmund Hillary. And Tenzing Norgay. Hillary.
Like two guys that would do it.
Hillary was from New Zealand. He was an explorer and just a rich guy, philanthropist. Tenzing was a Sherpa. And neither of them, to this day, neither of them would say who stepped on the summit first.
Oh, really?
They didn't want to say. Because they were like, it's not important. We did this together. It's an achievement for mankind. It's not like a one particular person achievement. At one point...
Are they both dead?
Yeah, this was in 1953.
But
they died
like
in...
rooting for it.
What's that?
Well, I just say if one died, would the other go? Actually, it was
me. Yeah.
Now that he's dead. Well, what if you... Why won't you just go, let's step on it together?
Well, that's what they claim they did.
Okay. So they would say, well, we did it together at the same time.
Yeah, that's what they agreed to say. But at one point, so Tenzing at one point said that Hillary took the first step. And then the media had this big hubbub about it. And they tried to like pull them apart and to make a big story about it. And they were like, nah, 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 I retract that. I want to be friends with it. It became a big thing. You know, it's like who stepped foot on the moon first. So you're like, we want to make it a big deal about who was on there first.
Yeah.
They both say
that. It's so funny that you could be second to the moon. And it's like you don't exist.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
You know the second guy, Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
Do you know the third? There's a third guy just in the thing
Yeah.
that didn't get to come out. Do you know that guy's name?
No.
Exactly.
He wasn't allowed to get out of the thing.
He had to stay in the thing.
Why would they not? How do you not talk yourself and go, I'm going to get out?
Yeah.
Who's going to stop me at this point?
I mean, how would you not do that and go, well, I am getting out?
I think we've come this far.
Yeah. Yeah, I think somebody had to man the thing. It's like somebody's going to keep the car running.
Yeah, you
it's
go,
like,
hey, Buzz, Neil.
Yeah. Jump back in here real quick.
Jump back in for a second. Let me touch the moon.
Nope.
You arrogant. I would get into a pretty big fight about it.
Yeah.
So they were up there, these two guys, first time, spent about 15 minutes up there. They took a photo. I got a picture right here, which is pretty cool. You got a picture. The first they left gifts up there like you did. Mm-hmm. This is Sir Edmund Hillary right here.
I bet he did it first.
If he paid for it and did it.
Yeah.
But I could see.
So you get up there, you got to climb back down. There's no.
Yeah.
You're not hang gliding or ziplining back down.
No, you just take the elevator down.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go back down.
I don't like that.
They spent 15 minutes up there. They left a gift. What did they leave? Hillary left a little cross given to him. And then Tenzing left chocolates at the summit as an offering. There was over 400 people. To the mountain. An offering to the mountain. Mm-hmm. There was 400 people in this entire expedition. It was a huge deal to get up there. So these two people did it.
But they're going
to
fight on the way back down. Hey, you got those chocolates?
I gave them to the mountain.
No, I gave them to the mountain.
Gave them to what?
You gave them to what? I gave them, well, you had a cross. And I didn't really think about leaving something up there, and all I had was these chocolates.
And he's like, I gave you that cross. And you left it up here?
He goes, well, we could have ate them and just left a wrapper up there. Leave a ring. You don't have a quarter?
Yeah. My blood sugar is low after all this climbing.
Put a nickel up there. That'd be a pretty cool story. Can anybody find the nickel?
Buffalo nickel. The hardest part of the summit was a 40-foot rock face that is now called Hillary Step, named after Sir Edmund Hillary. It was like...
Well, that's who stepped on it first. 40, when you got the...
And that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, well, I'll take credit for that. That step has now... Basically, there was an earthquake in 2015, and that 40-foot rock face that was like completely vertical and really hard to climb, that got all like eroded, and now it's like pretty easy to get over.
So now it's not even worth it.
Well, now it's like kind of, it's like thin, it's a bottleneck where there'll be like a line. There's like a line waiting to get through. It's like funneling people. It's really, it's caused a bottleneck of people getting up there.
Yeah.
You have any idea how long it takes if you were to go, let's say you wanted to go climb Everest, you do all the training, how long does it take?
From when to you do 40 it? Years. You're talking me.
Yeah.
No.
You're talking about like from your house. From today to get on.
If you were to like, all right, I want to do it. I'm in shape enough to do it. Let me call some company that does tours. Yeah. How long the actual trip takes?
I think 6 months.
It takes about 2 months. Which is still longer than I thought. Oh. I thought you could knock it out in the weekend. That's how dumb I am.
Oh, no.
I'll go out there Friday. I'll climb it Saturday.
I bet it's 6 months is your... I bet it's a year. Like when you, if you want to go do
it. I would think more than 2 months from the couch to the mountain.
Couch to mountain is got to be a year.
Yeah.
They should have that as one of those, you know, they do that couch to marathon. You know, couch to Everest.
Couch to 5K.
Couch to 5K. couch to Everest.
Yeah.
I bet they go, that's 5 to 10 years.
It's usually, it's a 3 to 5 day arrival in Nepal. They check all your gear. It's an 8 to 12 day trek to base camp. Mm-hmm. And then you have to acclimate for 30 to 35 days to just the altitude and the oxygen level and everything. And then the actual push up to the summit is four to 8 days. And there's only like a certain 2 week window where you can do this every year in May.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time where the weather even allows
you to do
this. And
it's like even, isn't it like 24 hours? Like when you, I think it's 24 hours when you go. When you're going to the peak, like it's like 4 to 8 days, but then when you make the push to the peak and back down,
well, there's something
it's
called
8 hours.
The 2 p.m. rule.
Yeah.
That's like a critical safety guideline that requires climbers to turn back and begin coming back down by 2 p.m. So that last day when you get up to the top, you have to leave at like midnight or like a little bit after midnight to get up there. Everything, you're at the mercy of the weather and everything when you're up there. So mm-hmm. there's that little 2 week window when you can.
How many people have done this?
Well, when in the 1950s, right after those first two guys did it, there was only, you know, like less than 100 a year that would do it. Now, close to 1,000 a year go do this. And it costs anywhere from $35,000 to $100,000 to do it. So it's pretty cost prohibitive for most people.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if it's, yeah, I could see wanting to, like, there is, I have something in me that kind of wants to do it.
You want to do the equivalent. You want to be one of these two guys, though.
That is true.
You want to be one of the first guys to do it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be one of the idiots that's still doing it, right?
I wouldn't mind trying to cut, like, maybe it's like if, maybe it'd be like, all right, I don't need to do Mount Everest, but like, I need to go accomplish something like this.
A physical feat
that you can go like, wow, I did that. I got over some stuff, you know, whatever that is. And then to see if you go, yeah, I want to do this other thing. Because I think that in career stuff you can have where you think you want to do something and then you kind of get maybe even past it or near it. And then you're like, I don't know if I really want to do that.
Because you would have thought years ago, you'd have thought headlining Madison Square Garden is the Mount Everest of your career.
Yeah, that
right?
would be it.
And then you climbed it three times in one weekend.
Yes.
But so you're like, well, what's my next?
Let's say this, you're on Everest, right? You go, I've needed to do this physical thing. And then you're up there and now your leg is frostbitten.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, I'm probably going to die up here.
Yeah.
And you think, did I really need to do this?
Well, that's where you got to be.
That's what I think about.
But I mean, that's where it's, I think it's got to be in you. Because then when you do die up there, you are like, yo, this is what I wanted.
But your last little bit, you go, I couldn't do it. This was in me to do it, but I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last thought you have is, I died trying, and maybe that's the achievement.
And failed.
Yeah. I died. I mean, saw that's an interview what I think. With, remember the-
Right when you get to heaven, God goes, why'd you go to Mount Everest?
Yeah, you had a pretty good life.
Yeah.
I gave you everything you needed.
Yeah, why did you need it?
He goes, you know, there's two mountains over, you would have made it.
yeah.
Fine. Yeah, nobody in your life was even that impressed.
Maybe try the smaller one first.
I've met someone that climbed Mount Everest.
Did they talk about it a lot? Did they bring it up?
I asked them, okay. Well, it was like, it was in the fashion of, you know what? It was like very random. It was more random than it is because I could be in situations where you're with someone that's climbing Mount Everest, like if you're at a speaking thing or something. But, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And I tell you what, there's not a lot to talk about. It's hard to, you know, I mean, you know, even to like go, I've met someone to climb Mount Everest, the odds of that are pretty small. For you to meet someone mm-hmm. that has climbed Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the circles I run in.
Yes. And so the odds of that are very small. But
I climbed Mount Juliet.
Yeah. How was it? You know, it's a little bit longer of a conversation than when I asked about y'all's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because there's only, I mean, I don't know what else, but you don't really know what to say.
If you're a guy and you're talking to a girl about the time you climbed Mount Everest, I'm sure it's can be longer and very exciting.
Yeah.
But if you're telling some other guys, they go, well, that's cool, dude.
That's awesome, man.
You know what, man? It was.
You watch the game this
weekend? What do you think about Lane Kiffin?
It was a flight attendant.
Coming from a guy that climbed Mount Everest, do you think Lane Kiffin should stay in?
Yeah.
As a flight attendant, so he just can't get enough. Climbed it, now still got to travel.
Yeah, it was, but it is, no, it's very, it's like you're almost in awe of it that you just are like, but then it's too big to really no one knows that. It'd be like Neil Armstrong. Like if you want to talk to a guy, climb the moon, it's like, well, there's going to be a lot of conversations that you're going to just be like, yeah, man, how was the moon?
And then you know he's sick of talking about it, so you're like,
but you don't even know how to wrap your head around it.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
Neil Armstrong, he's like, I had to tell this lie again.
Yeah. He's just weighed down from the lie.
Yeah. He goes, oh, the traffic was bad that day. What? He drove to a studio. That's the joke. He goes, what I remember is the traffic. Why was there traffic? I mean, there was no traffic because we were the first to do it.
Yeah. The space junk, if you know, right?
It's, yeah. But I mean, I think you could listen to a story. Like, I could watch a movie on, I think there's a great amount of Everest movie. And I could watch movies and all this kind of stuff all the time. I like it that they're doing it. But there is something funny, too, that you just, you know, the most frustrating thing they probably hear is they go, I climbed Mount Everest, and they go, why?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, oh. Well, because I want it, you know, like that's got to be infuriating.
Yeah, when I was in Alaska, you know, the biggest mountain, I think in the Western Hemisphere, Denali is out there, and the first guy to climb it was just like some American guy back in this time, probably. And I asked, I was like, was there not like a native person that summited it? And they were like, no, they would like laugh at the idea. They're like, why would you even want to climb up there? Well, we just looked at it and we admired it, but like,
yeah,
to think I have to go get to the top of that.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think that way.
And that's how I think.
Yeah.
I like walking in the woods. I'm into that. I like being in nature, but mountain climbing does not appeal to me.
You don't feel the need to, you don't want to conquer something. You don't ever feel that?
Nah.
And you, but you do want to conquer something.
I do. Yeah. I don't know if.
Metaphorically or whatever. Yes.
I like growing things. I mean, that can be, you're conquering the...
But I don't want to, I can't...
I like creating.
I don't know if I get the thrill of conquering the mountain over conquering, like, you know, like being in comedy or building a theme park or...
Yeah.
Like, actually, like I like that.
By the way, congrats on, we haven't even talked about that.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I mean, do you want to go into detail about it later? I feel crazy that I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, until it's built, no one cares. So, I enjoy like that. Like, I enjoy, like, that's what I've come into where I really want to, because, you know, it's a mix of, it's inwardly, outwardly versus not that one way is bad or the other. I feel very much like outwardly. I mean, the comedy aspect is inwardly, I guess. But like the theme park and movies is outwardly. Like you want to make stuff. I really want to make stuff that people go to and are able to go to. And I like the carry the weight of their trust on me that I want to them, you know. So, but I don't know.
It's exciting. It's so funny.
It's crazy.
It's just the way the podcast has changed. There's so many things that are happening with both of you. Like the fact that you're like, oh, by the way, I was on the Tonight Show last week. And then, oh yeah, building a theme park.
And you too, you got a new corduroy shirt.
That you would wear on. Do you think that's how you would dress on? That's how you would dress on Mount Everest because you might get too hot. They go, you get up there in the death zone, and they go, I think you should put something more on. He goes, I'm thinking about taking this jacket off, brother. He goes, you're waving yourself. You're in the top of Mount Everest.
Sweat's freezing.
Yeah. He goes, what is it, summer here?
Man, sweat free. You ever had sweat freeze on you like that?
No.
I took a spin class in college for my PE credit, and then I had a class across campus, and I didn't have time to shower. So I get off the exercise bike, miserable, so sweaty, and I walk across campus, and it would all freeze to me, dude. Freeze in your armpits. All the snot would freeze in your... It just felt disgusting, dude. It's one of the worst feelings.
It's kind of like coming off a mountain that after was my, 12. That,
exactly.
Yeah.
That was my Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Right there. So this guy, Hillary...
That was in my joke. I said that was my... Yeah.
That's something about, was it?
He goes, what's your Mount Everest? And he goes, oh yeah. I was like, I'm trying not to eat more McDonald's.
Trying to walk to McDonald's instead of driving.
That's my,
something.
He goes, that's my Mount Everest. And then the guy that climbed Mount Everest has to go, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Can't even fathom that that's a problem.
So Sir Edmund Hillary, one of the first two up there, he died in 2008. That's how recent this is.
I tell you what, we're talking about a guy quite a bit that said he did not step on this thing first. And you go, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, there's a language barrier with the other guys.
I think. 10 pennies.
I think you would almost, if you wanted to be that Hillary guy, you should have let him do it first.
Uh-huh.
And then know you're the one that's going to get talked about. But you go, you do it first.
I think you don't. You want to be? I want to be the first guy to actually do it.
You know what's funny is I think you just would be, and then in your heart, you know, no, I let him.
Uh-huh.
I think if he did it, Hillary would have killed that guy and go. He died on the way up there.
Mm-hmm. On the way,
he died at the top.
Yeah.
Right before, because
he said he had 200 people. Sorry, he funded the whole thing. Yeah. He's like, listen, I'll do whatever I want up here.
Wait, it was just 200, or it was two.
It was hundreds of people that were part of the whole thing. But just the two of them that made that last little trek up to the top.
Oh, wow. Why did no one else? They probably didn't let them.
I think it was just at that time, it was super dangerous.
They were all that third man in the spaceship.
Yeah.
Like, but we're so close. And he's like, but I'm paying you.
Just hang back here in the death zone for 8 hours. Yeah. He goes, we'll be right back.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
So this guy, he died in 2008, and he said even 15 to 20 years after he first, like just 15, 20 years ago, he was like, I'm kind of upset with what Mount Everest has become, like the over-commercialization of it. And he feels like a lot of the people, modern climbers now, they don't have any sense of adventure. They're not doing it for the same reasons he did. They're doing it just because they can pay for it. And then he looked at all the trash and everything up there. And he was like, he died upset with what it was like. And it's gotten way worse since he died. So he'd probably be pretty unhappy with what he did. I mean, I think somebody would have climbed it after if he hadn't. But to get, imagine being the first person, it's like pure untouched. And now look at some of these pictures of trash on Mount Everest.
Jeez.
It is, disgusting, dude.
Wow.
Disgusting. So much trash. If you're just listening, when you get, just Google trash on Mount Everest. I mean, some people are trying to get up there and help it, but.
You want to ask him, though, to be honest, go, well, did you leave any trash up there?
You left some trash.
And he goes, well, I did, but we were the only ones up there. You go, well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, honestly, to that guy, you go, did you leave anything up there? I'd imagine in 1950, you probably had to leave some stuff up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like now. It's the tallest mountain in the world. It's like, they should. Yeah, not saying you don't, I get it.
Yeah, back when.
There's a weird.
Back when you were the only one pooping on the mountain, it wasn't a big deal.
Like there's a, I don't know why I was confused with that kind of thing. Where they go do something, like someone does something like this, and then they look back and they're like, almost regret it because of what it became.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
Like that you did it. Like, it's like, celebrate that you did it. You can be frustrated that it is like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are doing it. You're like, you're right. None of us want this to be that. But then maybe spend all your money into trying to fix it and trying to get rid of it. But it's.
Well, he's dead now.
Well, I know, but it's it's like a weird.
Just feels like he's going, talk about me again, guys.
Well,
I did it first.
You've seen it with there's just times where someone, I don't like when someone gets to be the first of something and then they kind of can guilt everybody. I'm not trying
to be like somebody now going, I wish I'd never done it.
Yeah.
I wish I'd never done a crowd work video. Now look what it's become.
Yeah. Look what it's become. And you're.
I know who we're talking about, too. I know who to blame for that. They're doing a wait before everybody.
But yeah, they should. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of trash, like, you know, but it's, I don't know. Go pick it up. You guys are, look, that's a, that to me is a you guys problem. So go clean it up.
Yeah, I'm never going up there.
Yeah, you're so like.
Y'all got to figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out.
What's my Everest? Clean up the trash you left behind.
Everest. Yeah. Did you make it up there? No. Because I got stuck on base camp getting rid of all your cans.
So there's been a
push. What are you supposed to do with the trash?
Well, that's the thing. It's so high up. It's so dangerous to go up there and get it. It's like, do we really want to risk human lives to go take this Diet Coke can?
And there's like, I know there's like, and people have died and there's dead bodies up there, right? Yeah.
Imagine dying before the death zone.
Huh?
Imagine dying before the death zone. You didn't even make it to the death zone.
And then, that's
you think you could do this?
I think you give them the death zone. I think you just...
you scoot the body a little bit higher.
I think you do the right thing, and you go, the least we could do is scoot this body into the death zone. And, you know, it's the opposite of, like, you never leave a seal behind. You move them to the death zone.
Yeah.
You get them a foot in the death zone or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, or tell him he must have slid back down because he was deep in the death zone.
Yeah, he was in it.
What's the death zone? It's the...
It's 8,000 meters. And that's the point where, like, the oxygen, your body cannot
200
function.
200 feet? Yeah. What now? Yeah. Your body can't function?
Your body doesn't have the oxygen. I mean, it just can't function at that level. So you have, like, limited time up there.
Yeah.
In theory, there's like...
And you got to go above it.
You got to go way above it.
So is the death zone not from here to the top? Because when you look at that mountain, it looks like it's only one little section, and then it goes to the peak. So the death zone is like, starts here, and then it gets all the way. You know what I mean?
Death zone right there. So there's about...
3,000 feet.
About 3,000 feet between the start of the death zone and the summit. So you got to get up there, and you got to get out.
Yeah. But they should also say, well, so we need the summit... Just a reminder, you are still in the death zone.
Oh, yeah. Why?
And camp two is not the death zone, guys, okay? Camp two, you should be fine.
If you die in camp two, you're just weak.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If you died at, if you died at base camp, it's like...
You just came here to die.
Yeah, you're like, you're just... They don't even count it.
How many bodies are up there?
I think base camp is pretty crazy to get to, right?
Yeah. It's like an 8 to 12 day hike to get there.
Can you just do base camp?
I think you can go. Actually, Nate, one of your old pals, Mandy Moore, in 2019, your wife.
Yeah.
From The Breadwinner, coming out this March. Mandy Moore went to Everest Base Camp in 2019. She did not summit the mountain, but she did a week-long trek to the base camp, which is at an altitude of 17,600 feet. She described it as a spiritual and challenging experience.
Yeah.
So she went out there.
Did a little party at base camp, headed on back.
Yeah.
I think I could do like
a week-long trek.
Yeah. I think I could do that. Like, and I think it would be like you going, I want to go.
Yeah.
Like that would be to get that up close to the mountain and go. But how do you not go like, let me go to camp two? How's there camp two? And then what's the IV right below it?
That's four.
Four. So where's three?
Yeah, where's three? And
I mean,
where's camp three?
That's very, that is a good question.
Why is it in reverse?
There is no camp one. We go base camp, camp four, camp two, dad zone. What?
Maybe you got the dead zones getting confusing for camp one.
Yeah, I've got a breakdown here somewhere.
He goes, no, I'm going to camp one.
They go,
you know, it's hard to like have your sorts about you. They go, no, buddy, there's no camp one. Well, that would be ridiculous because there's a camp two.
That's just not in that diagram for some reason.
And why does it not go base camp, camp two, camp four, death zone, summit?
Camp four is...
Oh, it's actually higher than camp two.
Yeah, it is right there. So camp four is technically in the death zone. You see it? It's the same height.
No, it's not. It says 23. And that death zone says 26.
Well.
And actually, camp two is lower somehow.
Yeah.
How's camp two lower than camp four? What?
Abigail's good. I don't know enough about it.
Is it?
He texted me the link.
Oh.
All right. I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
I'll pull that up. All right. Here we go. Okay. Mount Everest has two. Wait, is this the one?
And click that.
Oh, this right here?
There, go to that website.
Okay.
Oh, this makes a lot more sense.
Okay, yeah. All right, so there's base camp, and then you go to ABC, which is ridiculous. And then you go to North Call, which is, yeah. Those two are not even worth going to. I would get there and go base camp, and then I'm going to go ahead and go to camp two. He goes, do you want to go to ABC? He's like, or maybe camp one? Why don't you go camp one, two, three, four, and then summit? Did you ever think of that?
Yeah.
What do you think's going on at camp two? I mean, that's got to be a tremendous amount of less people than at base camp.
Yes. I think camp two is where...
it's going to thin out each one.
It goes, the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
It goes, what are we doing here?
Camp two, everybody's got a little more hair on their bodies and a little more rugged looking.
Camp two, also known as advanced base camp. That's ABC.
Oh,
well, this has them as two different spots.
Advanced base. That's why. That makes sense.
Conflicting information.
I want to apologize for the ABC thing.
Yeah. Well, they should make it more clear, though.
Yeah.
They've got better tents, better communication equipment. It just stops along the way if you're going to summit.
You got a lot of chances to back off.
You got a lot of opportunities to go, this maybe isn't for me.
Yeah.
And I might die if I get up there. Yeah, you mentioned it. We don't have to get into the detail, but there's a ton of dead bodies up there, and they're working on getting them back, but they're perfectly preserved up there because it's so cold. So a lot of them have become
landmarks, right?
Landmarks. Yeah. There's a guy
it's
named
a gift to the mountain.
Yeah.
It's way more valuable than chocolates.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Green Boots who's famous because he had green boots. And then everyone go, take a left at Green Boots. You just see it.
And you see green boots.
You just see a guy who's dead with wearing green boots.
I think if you were going to do it, that's how you want to go. You want to, if you do it, you want to make sure.
You got to be a landmark.
Yeah, I would, your last move should be to get you in a good spot.
Do not take my body from this mountain.
Yeah.
You leave me here.
I want to be on a turn.
Yeah.
You know.
There's one part, there's a place called like Rainbow, is Rainbow Road? Rainbow Trail or
Rainbow Valley.
Rainbow Valley, where there's so many dead bodies all wearing brightly colored stuff.
That's crazy.
That they call it Rainbow Valley because all the different jackets and everything.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gifts to the mountain.
It's like, it's one of those, it's very sad, but it's like also like, that's, okay. I think when you go there, that's what gets talked about.
Right.
And that,
I bet Base Camp 3 has a lot of jokes about Rainbow Valley. I bet they're like, you see those guys? They couldn't even make it up to Base Camp 3. Huh?
Yeah. Or they don't want to be in Rainbow Valley. Where are they? Are they in the death zone?
I don't know where they're in. Yeah. I'm sure it's the death zone, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They go, once you get to flip-flop, and you get flip-flop, he goes, yeah, it's right below base camp. That guy didn't make it.
Yeah.
He wore flip-flops. He goes, but once you see flip-flop, you're about to hit the flat spot of base camp. He goes, why? What the audacity of that guy wearing flip-flop? He's got your Walmart slides on.
He goes, yeah. He was living that salt life.
He's living that, yeah. And he's just sitting there. How's his feet? Not bad.
Still preserved.
Real preserved.
Look at this picture, man. It's one of the craziest pictures. Overcrowding on Mount Everest.
Yeah.
For the reason that we talked about earlier, like the bottleneck issues and stuff.
Is that the top?
That's the top.
I don't know if that's the exact top of it. Is it? That's the summit?
Yeah. And so then you got to go and then, yeah.
If you're that high, if you reach the top and there's that many people there, that has to diminish the accomplishment in your mind. You have to go.
I could see that.
Yeah, you have to go, wow, this many people are doing it?
Well, you want to kind of line on ground,
you know,
at the airport or something. This is like, this is the worst place on earth for a line.
But if you I don't know. I mean, you're still like got to be one of some,
But it's like you climb all the way up there and you're like, I can't even get a second.
How many people have climbed Mount Everest? Is it 10,000? Is it?
You can't even get a second up here because there's somebody else waiting to be at the top.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like in front of those Taylor Swift wings.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
So they think there have been 12, almost 13,000 successful ascents. by approximately 7,200 different people.
Yeah, so I would, you know, it's still pretty good though, man. Like 13,000 people of the population.
It's only 7,000 people.
Oh, only 7,000.
A lot of people unique. Have done it multiple times. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, yeah, so seven. So if you're one of 7,000 people that have done it, yeah. Like it's still pretty crazy. Sherpa guides, those are the, I had another joke about Mount Everest with the Sherpa.
Yeah, there was one dude, the guy who has the record, his name is Kami Rita, Sherpa, has climbed Mount Everest the most times, 31 times as of May 2025.
Hmm.
He broke his own record, has the Guinness World Record for most Everest summits. I mean, 31 times he's done this.
Yeah, he does it like every day.
Yeah.
This guy needs to find a new hobby, huh? What's your Everest?
I think it's his job.
I've done it 31 times, yes. Yeah.
Just another day at the office.
Yeah, I mean,
7,200 people, only 900 women.
Almost 1,000.
Almost 1,000.
That's a lot, yeah. That's a lot of women, though.
Mm-hmm.
Are they, I would, you know, it'd be funny to have the Sherpa, like, I would like to have that guy, anybody that goes and gives a speech about Mount Everest, I'd have him come sit in the front row. As they start their speech.
A Sherpa. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes, now please tell us about your one time.
I've done it 31.
31 times.
31. I remember my first time, dude. Remember my first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too, right? It's like, yeah, you can't even be like, oh yeah, climb Mount Everest because somebody's done it 31 times.
Mm-hmm. How many you of the want that guy?
How many of the people you think died on their second attempt? Can you imagine that?
You got a little more confident.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I should have just stuck with the one.
Yeah.
As your body is slowly freezing over, you go, should have just did it the one.
You like to think about regrets in the last moment of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well, kind of a funny
you
thought.
You never know when it's going to come. Don't have any regrets.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
That's about it. I think this one can be a little short.
Good job.
Thank you, Abigail. Thank you, Abigail, for looking all this up.
It's good information.
All right.
Mount Everest is fun.
It is fun. Let's go do it.
I enjoy it.
Let's go do it. Would you go do it with us? We did a field trip.
Let's pick up.
I mean, you didn't come to Paducah with us. Yeah. You're not coming to Everest.
Yeah. But that was during the eclipse.
I might go to base camp, but I doubt it. Yeah. I mean, I might maybe go to Nepal with you guys.
Yeah.
And then I'll hang in Nepal while you guys go hiking.
Okay.
Let's go let's pick a mountain here. And then we're going to do it.
I'm down.
It's a little bit easier.
There's Mount Mitchell in North Carolina.
There you go.
That's a good one.
It's a big one.
I mean, it's a bit. It's okay.
Yeah.
Doable.
You got to spend the night?
No. You can be back in your car by noon, dude. We go eat at Panera that day, dude.
We already did that. How high have you been?
I don't know. I've been low to the Grand Canyon. I did a long hike at Grand Canyon. I hiked down.
You went down?
Yeah.
You went low.
Which is actually, it's worse to have to hike up at the end.
That's what they would say. That's what they would say.
So you hiking up a mountain, then you're like the easy part, and then you just have fun at the end.
Yeah, I got to end on the worst part.
I'm still climbing.
Well, how much did you hike up?
I mean, I did 5 miles down, 5 miles up.
And how many feet is that?
I mean, it was over a mile of elevation.
Do you know the feet? Like, I think, what did we, did like 10,
over 5,000, 10
or 12,000, right? It was like 10 or 12,000 elevation.
All right.
So is that above that?
Yeah, that's like 2 miles.
No, it's not.
I mean, a mile is 5,280 feet.
Oh, so you did 5 miles
up? I did 5 miles down and then 5 miles up, but it's not completely vertical. But it was a lot of elevation. It's like, it's pretty steep. I'm not trying to claim that I've
no,
done
wait,
more
so
than
5,000. So you did 25,000 feet. You did Mount Everest?
No, I did the Grand Canyon.
Well, Mount Everest was 29,000 feet.
Yeah.
So if a mile is 5,000 feet, 5 miles is 25,000 feet. So you did Mount Everest. 29.
Yeah, but that would be straight up. But yeah, essentially, that distance.
The way you're... You're wording this in a way That's insane.
What do you mean?
This is what Notre. This is why Notre Dame's in the playoff, because you word it in such a way that everybody's like, they gotta be in, and then you're like, what? And then you're like, you're confusing me.
The trail itself
is 5 miles.
Well, I went 5 miles down it. Then at any point you turn around and come back up, so I had to walk the same way back up. So I walked 10 miles. I only did about a mile in elevation on the way.
I guess that's the elevation. So you did a all right. So elevation, yeah. You went on a hike, but you know what you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you see,
No, I think you do.
Okay.
So it's if we went up 12,000 elevation, and then you rode an escalator for a few hours, and you went, you said 1,000 elevation, that's like nothing. That's like nothing. You did a long hike. Like we hiked that day, was it 12, 13 miles? Something like that in Canada. So I guess if you want to go, yeah, if we put it up right, then we would have done more than Mount Everest.
12,000 elevation in miles is 2.2 miles. So you did double, a little more than what he did.
Yeah. So you're 6,000 elevation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, let me tell you, that last mile. ours was pretty straight up the whole time. That's much different than, you know, basically crisscrossing.
But he was also in the desert, though. Right?
So yeah, it was hot
and dry.
It was cold in the morning and got hot by the afternoon.
He was going down.
Lizards.
I was going up when it was hot. That was the worst part.
Yeah, you're up, you go.
And I was wearing khakis. I didn't dress well.
Yeah.
The first time I did it.
Yours was about the size of the building. And then you just went, you kept walking where you never really were on an elevator. You basically, was your trip ever, did you ever think, are we walking up? Because that's how it gets.
All right.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, we can move on.
All right.
That's it.
That's it. I'll be in Salt Lake City this week in Boise. And then Bridgestone, and that's the end of this year.
Awesome.
And so,
And then you're taking a lot of time off? Or
No. Well, I'll be off about a month, and then we have the rest of next year, the August 26th. But after that, you know.
Back at it.
No, there will be, it could be after, once I'm done with next year, I bet it's the end of 27, 28 before we tour. So that will be a decent break. So if you want to come out, and then I got to be doing some movie and theme park things.
Big time stuff.
Big stuff.
Mount Everest type stuff. Speaking of Mount Everest type stuff, I'm in the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, Uncasville, Unksville.
That's their Mount Everest.
That is. Yeah, at a Comics Roadhouse this weekend. And then the Philadelphia Helium.
Great club.
This Sunday. That's December 7th. So come out and see me, Connecticut and Philadelphia this weekend.
All right. I got 4 dates for the year. For the rest of the year.
Okay.
This week I'm going to be, or next week I'm going to be in Mexico, Cancun, Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
You been there?
I never been to Cancun. December 12th, I'm going to be in Dubuque, Iowa at a casino. December 16th, I'm here at Zany's. December 26th, Pocola, Oklahoma casino. So that's where I'll be at, all at dustyslay.com.
Feel better, Brian. I want to plug a couple of Brian Day. He's going to be at the Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Great club.
At the end of this month.
Famous club.
Really is a great club.
Yeah.
Brian's got 3 shows there, so go check him out at the end of this month.
Cap City in January.
Addison Improv. Brian's got a lot of great shows. BrianBatesComedy.com. Get those tickets now. We wish you well, Brian.
Yeah.
Feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
Those mumps off and all that kind of stuff.
The old mumps.
We love you. I'll let you close it out, Nate.
No, you're doing a great job.
No, you're doing
it. All right. Yeah, that's it. Love you. Bye.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.